This year, churches around the world have been adjusting, enduring, and grieving the losses and struggles of COVID-19. So not only do we share with churches around the world our anticipation of Christmas, we also share our need for it. That we not only observe Advent, but we also need Advent. It is why we light this morning the candle of hope, remembering that light shines in all darkness. But it is odd to talk about darkness around Christmas. We just don't normally say that word this time of year. It's why we watch scary movies in October and not December. And even though the winter solstice is fast approaching, the darkest day of the year, it is odd to mention darkness at Christmas. But the darkness is the reason the light of the world comes. And it's why the psalm is placed in front of us by the lectionary, which says, "You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves." Now, I spent hours this week walking up and down the aisle at Walgreens, and I could not find a Christmas card with those words on it. And for good reason that we don't speak about darkness at Christmas. But as we light the candle of hope, this psalm is praying for hope. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we might be saved. The psalms express every human emotion possible. Psalm 80 prays for hope, admitting uncertainty and anxiety. But there are other psalms, like Psalm 23, that expresses confidence. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. And perhaps over the course of this year, we have experienced both. There have been moments during this season of life where we have felt assured that God's presence is with us, that we fear no evil, like Psalm 23. But perhaps there have been other moments where we have cried out for God to restore us, like Psalm 80. And when we cry out to God for help, it's like those sleepless nights where we find ourselves wide awake at 2 a.m. and we cannot go back to sleep. That we are occupied by all of our worries for our loved ones, for the tragedies we see around this world, for an unknown future. That it is like Advent. We lie there waiting and hoping for some sort of relief or resolution. That we toss and turn as our thoughts run a mile a minute. So we try something that we learned as a child, just counting sheep. Anything that will get our mind off of our worries and concerns so we can fall fast asleep. During this year, there have been plenty of things to worry about. And during this pandemic, we have also longed for many things: to hug our grandchild, to share a meal with a friend that's not curbside pickup, to hold the hand of comfort, to laugh in the middle of a crowded room. And Advent reminds us that we also long for God's new day, to celebrate lasting peace, to cultivate reconciliation, to eradicate suffering, to establish love. That we long for Christmas, for the Word made flesh, that it is God's dream for this world. The Gospel of Mark also dares to speak of darkness around this time of year, saying, "The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light." And then it invites us to pay attention to the signs of change, to the branch of the fig tree, for when it feels tender, it is a sign that summer is right around the corner, that it invites us to turn away from the darkness and to look for the signs of the coming of the light, to look for the hope of Christmas. And there are moments where hope has a way of breaking loose into reality, where hearts are softened, where peace is established, where reconciliation takes place, where suffering is relieved, where love is stronger than hate. That it is, as Jesus says, "The kingdom of God has come near." That Jesus always saw the possibility for change, knowing that light does shine in all darkness. It is the reason we light the candle of hope, to look at the world through the light of that candle, to try to turn away and not pay attention to the darkness, but rather pay attention to the coming of the light. One of the most hope-filled events I ever attended, and I did not anticipate to find hope, is an invention fair at an elementary school, where all the students were instructed to invent something. It's like a science fair, but for the amateur inventor, that you could walk up and down the aisles of the cafetorium, where on the lunch tables were all of these projects and presentations. It was almost like looking into the future. That the students had to dream up a problem and then find a way to fix it. And you could see how proud they were of all of their tri-boards and the problems that they had fixed, that they had invented a way to feed the family dog first thing in the morning without ever getting out of bed. And they found a way to go get the mail at the end of the driveway without ever stepping out the front door. They even came up with a way to clean their room without ever having to go in there. But the truly exciting part was the look in the students' eyes. that out of their imagination, they had created a better world. And Advent invites us to use our holy imagination to envision God's dream for this world. To imagine forgiveness, to imagine justice, to imagine peace, to imagine community. When we find ourselves up late at night, unable to go to sleep, consumed by the worries that we have for our loved ones or for this world, we might try counting sheep by the light of hope. That we might try simply counting the number of times that we have seen hope in this world. And counting sheep does not help us turn our attention away from the darkness by putting us to sleep. Instead, it turns our attention away from the darkness by keeping us awake, seeing the coming of the light of Christmas. On our Advent banner that hangs on the front of the pulpit, that up in the night sky, we see the star of Christmas, the light that calls us forward. And just below it, moving from the right side of the banner to the left, we see how the landscape on the right side, particularly in the background, is full of all of these large, uneven hills. But as we move across the banner, towards the light, moving towards the foreground, the hills begin to even out, where the landscape is flat. It represents the mountains being brought low and the valleys lifted up. It is the hope of Christmas. Langston Hughes, that wonderful poet and writer, someone who knew full well what it was like to look for light in the middle of darkness. As he was a leader of the Harlem Renaissance, standing up against the darkness of racism and standing for the light and love of God established in this world, that he knew the power of dreams. That we should never underestimate the power of a dream. As he wrote, "Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field, frozen with snow." That we count sheep in order to stay awake, because Advent is a time to hold fast to God's dream. For we wait on the birth of Christ, who is the light of the world. Amen.